You're listening to Radio is Dead on CKUT 90.3 FM. It's currently 2 p.m. and this hour is dedicated to protest the revocation of CKLN's license. CKLN is the oldest campus radio station in Toronto.
Just heartbroken and shocked.
Well, our first response is just shock. We're shocked that this decision was taken. The CRTC could have issued mandatory orders against CKLN for being in non-compliance, which means that it's more serious and it becomes something that the court looks after, or they could have even suspended the license of the station for a little while. And in fact, they chose to jump over those two and go straight to revoking the license. And so our first response is just, what's happening?
Thank you. Thank you so much, neighbors. And Grant Turner, it looks like our time is all gone.
Worried, choked up and ruined, left out, disinherited, sweating, frustrated, hopeless, despairing, depressed.
Express yourself. Express yourself.
We've made tremendous improvements in the past year. We've been in rebuilding process. So, we started from station was basically broken and
join the Locked Out Women programmers of CKLN FM in Toronto for a 5-hour national radio direct action.
We reclaim the airwave.
Locked Out Women hosts and DJs of CKLN will stream to the internet from the Imperial Pub in downtown Toronto for a 5-hour national broadcast.
And be part of this landmark event in community-powered grassroots media.
Take that.
And I am one of the locked out volunteers at CKLN. I regularly host Friday word of mouth news.
The best scenario will be that everybody gets back their shows and that, you know, the board that we legitimately elected gets in place and that CKLN can continue to broadcast and it's not damaged by this whole instability.
You know, station was basically broken and worked really hard to put it back together and worked really hard to meet all the CRTC requirements. I think if we'd been given more time, we would have been fully compliant. I think so.
In the beginning,
things were pretty bad. So what happened was that somebody you couldn't see came on and announced the program. And then the sound was switched off, and someone you couldn't hear came on and sang a song.
Look out!
Look here. I want to register a complaint.
We are sorry that we have a breakdown. We are trying to put things right just as quickly as we can.
The Canadian Radio, Television and Telecommunications Commission, or CRTC, the public authority regulating and supervising the Canadian broadcasting system,
even one of the commissioners herself says in the decision, she wrote a dissent to the decision, that she's done some research, and as far as she can tell, this is the first time that that's ever happened.
Just bear in mind that 9/10 of everything is posture. Stand up.
But if that frequency goes up, we want to make sure that that space is there as a space for a campus and community broadcast.
If we go off the air, we'll leave a real hole in the community and in on the radio dial, because there are close to 200 people here volunteering, but they represent many more people, many more listeners and many more communities that aren't normally heard on the radio.
Come on, y'all. Express yourself.
They have all these opportunities for people to get involved and to either listen to the amazing content or listen and walk into the station, much like CKUT. You can walk into the station, you can get trained, and then you can be making radio that speaks to your experience and speaks to your community. That's huge.
You come to realize how true is that old saying, variety is the spice of life.
88.1.
System out of view by tuning in to Word of Mouth, CKLN's conscious news programming. And make sure to be listening this game for Pink Antenna, CKLN's queer news feature. Pink Antenna takes a truly alternative and personal
perspective. Word of Mouth here on CKLN Radical Radio.
Well, without the radio, we don't really have anything because...
no care and no interest in the political history of the station and what it means to the community and what it means to the city, you know, and in general, because how many more outlets of, like, you know, alternative, like, you know, coverage or, like, media do you have in the city? Not many, right? It's very few. Everything is going corporate nowadays, so you gotta, like, really, you know, defend those few outlets that are out there.
Well, CKLN has been around for about 27 years, 1983, so just over 27 years, and it's been a real leader in a lot of ways.
Now they've gone with my dear.
You are tuned in to Radio is Dead on CKUT 90.3 FM. Today the program's name, Radio is Dead, is sadly and aptly appropriate as we dedicate our broadcast to our sister station in Toronto, CKLN 88.1 FM. We stand in solidarity with CKLN in the face of the Canadian radio, in the face of the Canadian Radio, Television, and Telecommunication Commission's decision to revoke Toronto's first campus radio station's license. This Friday, the station was given 2 weeks before being forced to shut down operations. In 2007, the CRTC renewed CKLN's license for 7 years. CKLN is based on Ryerson campus with 250 watts. The station has approximately 200 volunteers coming from many of Toronto's neighborhoods. CKLN was the first station in Toronto to broadcast a hip-hop show. The CRTC, which cited the following non-compliances with their license as the basis for their decision. The first was non-compliance during the lockout period. The second was the filing of annual returns. The third, the provision of logs and records. And the fourth, the licensee's response to commission requests for information. My name is Courtney, and I'm going to turn to my co-host, Jess.
Hi, Courtney. Interestingly, Louise Poirier, a commissioner at the CRTC, attached a dissenting opinion with the decision that revoked CKLN's license. Poirier wrote that the decision created a bad precedent. Quote, immediate revocation without first applying any other regulatory measure is clearly inconsistent with the Commission's usual practice. No other licenses have been revoked in this manner in recent Commission history. Such revocations have always been preceded by either a mandatory order or a short-term license renewal. End quote. The station experienced upheaval for the last several years, including a 7-month period where the station programmers were locked out of the CKLN studios. Since that dark period, the station has been slowly rebuilding and reclaiming. In the fall, they raised $50,000 to fund a station manager position to oversee the day-to-day operations of the station. Today, we open our airwaves to the voices of CKLN programmers and members, and campus and community radio folk across the country. This episode will be rebroadcast on CFRC 101.9 FM in Kingston, Ontario.
Están escuchando la radio de las Américas.
Underlying the paid world, the paid sphere, the sphere of the workplace, what we have is women's reproductive labor that actually underpins the entire system. You know, I would look at how profoundly the economy is gendered from the bottom all the way up to the top, and then work from that point and not begin with kind of making the links approach, which is to add on saying, okay, here is the economy, let's look at how it's linked to women's oppression. I would start from the point that women's oppression actually underpins the entire structure and the whole system of how the global economy is organized.
Vous écoutez la radio des Amériques.
We're broadcasting live from the Center for Media Alternatives in Quebec City, April 2001. Come on,
into Radio's Dead on CKUT 90.3. Our first guest to talk about CKLN is joining us on the line from Toronto, and it's Kristen Swartz, who is the former CKLN news coordinator. Hi, Kristen, are you there?
I'm here, thanks, Courtney.
Welcome onto the show. Maybe you can talk about first being a listener to CKLN.
Wow, it was so important to me when I was, you know, kind of growing up, to be able to hear, you know, different kinds of music that weren't available on the other parts, on AM or FM, even though AM and FM was actually more interesting than it is now in some ways. But to be able to tune into community radio was just always mind-expanding, and I really appreciated it. And it was also a chance to win tickets, and I can remember getting going to a show, I don't know, a couple different shows that I won tickets to, you know, to actually be able to call in and talk to somebody who was on the air and talk to somebody who was connected to, like, music scene, promotions. It was really exciting and very different than anything else on the FM dial.
And how did
I mean, and also hearing about, you know, community events, like, for example, there was a group called Women's Action Against Racist Policing that was active in Toronto in the probably the early 90s. And, their events would get promoted on the air. Where else would that happen on the FM dial? And, basically by listening to the radio, I became much more aware of things that were happening in the city that I otherwise might not have very much connection to. So really appreciated that.
And what about as a programmer at CKLN and as a news director there? Can you talk about that experience a little bit, or a highlight from that time?
We used to talk about CKLN being a community center of the airwaves, and I think that was true on a number of levels. Just, it was kind of a public space, both on a physical level and in terms of the broadcasting. So there'd be people from across the city who would be coming through the offices and the studios. They're just, I mean, same as any community radio station, but it was a really very vibrant kind of scene for many, many years. And people of different ages, really all nationalities, being able to work with that diverse community as a staff person was very much a privilege and an honor. And even if it was a bit of an accident, like, I was one of the people who applied and worked, you know, for like some puny honorarium for, you know, a while, and then gradually graduated into a more serious position with more responsibility. And which has amazing things about it. It's an amazing opportunity for somebody who gets a chance to do it. But I also think, it's one of the weaknesses of a place like that, that sometimes the seeking out the talent in the city, it doesn't go beyond the immediate circles. So people who are involved kind of get first crack, whether they have the training or not. And I didn't actually have any background really in broadcast when I started working there as a news director. So I learned a lot, and I'm just forever grateful that I had that opportunity. When I see, you know, the people coming out of graduate school or journalism school, some of whom don't know very much, but many of them, you know, of course do, and they have so much trouble getting access to a workplace where they can practice their craft. And anyway, I did have that chance, and I'm just very grateful for it.
And Kristen, just in less than a minute, can you give us a quick word? Yeah, this is a tight timeline with so many people to talk to.
That's such great. I'm so happy for you.
To so many people.
Yeah.
Can you just sum up what's your response to the revoking of the license at CKLN?
Well, I'm just surprised, you know, more because, I mean, obviously there's issues and problems, and there was, the organization was not strong enough to withstand the attack by certain individuals and of certain political persuasion, the more right-wing people who are involved with the station, and who, you know, complained that the station had been taken over by communists. They really said that to the CRTC, and the CRTC, I don't know exactly what they took into account. I haven't read it all very carefully, but essentially, there's been a group of bullies that have been trying to shut it down, and the CRTC went with what they said and wasn't strong enough, at least not so far, to withstand that. And so I'm sad in that respect, and I'm sad that it wasn't strong enough, and I'm sad that we weren't able to, hold it together in a way that was good for the listeners of Toronto and the people of Toronto. So people will keep trying. And I hope that we'll be able to continue serving the listeners and that other people will have the benefits that I've enjoyed from it personally.
Kristen, I want to thank you for joining us on the air on Radio is Dead for the protest of CKLN license revoking.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you very much for your interest and your support.
Cool. We're going to go over to Jess now, who's going to read a statement from CKLN.
CKLN met on Friday night, I think, the board of directors, and they're also planning a general meeting for today. It was actually scheduled from before the CRTC's decision, but a statement recently went up on CKLN's website. The commission's decision to revoke our license is shocking, heartbreaking, and according to CRTC Commissioner Louise Poirier, unprecedented. CKLN has been faithfully serving a diverse Toronto audience for more than 27 years. It is a place where anyone can get trained, learn about broadcasting, and speak to their community. We have provided a place for new music, new voices, and underrepresented issues. We have been the voice of the underground. We were not in compliance while CKLN was off the air in 2009 and in intermittent subsequent periods, but this was completely unintentional, and once the problems were identified, we collectively undertook in good faith to remedy them. We are responsible campus and community broadcasters, and the unprecedented decision of the CRTC to revoke our license rather than issue a mandatory order took us and the broadcast community entirely by surprise. If this decision stands, it is a huge loss for Toronto and for community media across the country. CKLN is holding a general meeting this Monday at 7 p.m. in Ryerson Student Center. For more information, please email board@ckln.fm.
I started off at the University of Toronto. They used to call it Radio Varsity. And then I used to work at Chin. I had a show called Do You Have the Time? In the mid-70s. I remember interviewing people like Kwame Ture, Stokely Carmichael, Gil Scott-Heron, Harold Head, who was a South African. He's in Ottawa now. Leroy Sibbles, who's a Heptone.
And, of course, you've been in radio with CKLN for how many years?
I came here in 1983. And, it's from there that, you know, I sort of developed my international Pan-Africanist ideas.
The Etobicoke School Board built some kind of a summer camp center up there. And they never asked us if they could build it there on our land. So I wrote to them and I said, you know, this is our land. You never asked us for it. So it's ours, and give us the key to
this. This is what we talked about a few weeks ago when we had Cantinet the Horn of the Mohawk Nation News. And she was talking about the Etobicoke Outdoor Education Center. What do you know about it?
I know everything about it. I'm the one who put in the thing saying, okay, as per the Royal Proclamation, this is the property I want. You know, and we gave them notice to vacate that property, Etobicoke Outdoor Education Center. They did. They vacated it. But they didn't give us the keys. 2 years goes by. We still haven't got the keys.
They looked into it, and they looked at it. It's a whole lot of structures, and there's even areas where you could farm.
And then I get a letter from their lawyer of the Toronto District School Board telling me that if I try to trespass on the property, that I will be charged with trespassing under the full extent of Admiralty law.
From what I understand, we are going to eventually get the key to that whole project.
And I sent back to that lawyer Royal Proclamation, a copy of it, Art of Christ Canada copy, and the survey I had done at MNR, and I said, Royal Proclamation supersedes Admiralty law, you have no jurisdiction, tell your client I still want the keys, and when do they want to have the pipe ceremony? Because that's what we were working on. It was going to be a peace pipe ceremony. They were going to give me the keys and turn this over properly. Then I hear from another source up here, a very good, reliable source, inside source, that Jim Flaherty's trying to secure the property for himself. I said, wow, this is about 3 years ago. So I start my watching on that, right? And then Jim Flaherty shows up here in Honeywood. Another couple people, yep, Jim Flaherty was at the Honeywood store. Jim Flaherty. So he's already in there. That's the way I look at it. And so the finance minister of Canada is ignoring a royal proclamation, the supreme law of the empire. That's like treason. That's bigger than Watergate or any of it.
What these colonists are finding is that we are actually coming out, putting on paper, the way that they look at it, you know, that's what they know, and we give them the historical information and the jurisdictional information, the Constitution, and so on, and then we start making claims. When they send it to their lawyers, they have no... that there's no question that we are right.
And we're back on Radio is Dead on CKUT 90.3 FM. We now have on the line Christiana Clemens, who is currently working at CFRC in Kingston, Ontario, which is also rebroadcasting this special protest broadcast in support of CKLN. Christiana has worked at many campus community radio stations across the country, including both CKUT and CKLN. Hi, Christiana. Are you there?
I'm here.
Okay, you're silenced before. So maybe you can start by just talking about your experience with CKLN.
Sure. I got involved with CKLN as a volunteer in 1998 when I was a student at Ryerson. A couple years after that, I joined the staff on a part-time basis as the audio production coordinator. At the time when I joined CKLN in the late 90s, I was actually a board member as well for a couple of years. That changed, of course, when I became a staff member. And I left the station in 2005 to work at Vancouver Co-op Radio.
And what's your reaction to CKLN losing their license?
I think it's a tragedy. I'm kind of shocked and definitely very saddened by what's happened. I'm also a little confused. I didn't anticipate that the CRTC was going to take this step, as there hadn't been previously mandatory orders issued or a suspension made. So it seemed very extreme for them to go to these lengths, especially given the good faith in which the current board and volunteers were working to comply with all of the licensing issues that had come up over the previous 3 years due to the crisis at the station.
And there's a lot of Christina. Christiana. There's a lot of talk right now about the precedent that this decision has made, and I was wondering if you had any thoughts about that.
Yeah, one of the commissioners, Poirier, gave a dissenting opinion that I think is right on the money. just saying that for the commission to take this extreme move against a station that has really been struggling, you know, for the past year, working very diligently to try and get the station back on its feet after, you know, things fell apart due to a series of unforeseen calamities, basically. I think it is threatening to the sector as a whole to know that the commission is willing to take these kinds of measures against grassroots, volunteer-powered community radio stations. And I'm worried about what this says for the future of the sector as a whole, but particularly in regards to how stations relate to the CRTC.
Thanks, Christiana. Is there anything else you want to add before we continue on with the broadcast?
Just that, you know, CKLN has a really amazing history and has been a starting point or a focus place for so many wonderful and talented community radio broadcasters in Canada. This is really a huge loss, not just for the community radio sector, but certainly for all of Toronto, and not to mention all of the volunteers who are involved in the station now and have been in the past.
Thank you. We've been speaking with Christiana Clemens, who has both volunteered and worked at CKLNS and continues to be heavily involved in campus community radio from her headquarters in Kingston, Ontario at CFRC 101.9. You were tuned in to Radio is Dead on CKUT 90.3 FM and rebroadcast on CFRC 101.9 FM in Kingston, Ontario. Today, the program's name, Radio is Dead, is sadly and aptly appropriate as we dedicate our broadcast to our sister station in Toronto, CKLN 88.1 FM. We stand in solidarity with CKLN in the face of the Canadian Radio, Television, and Telecommunication Commission's, the CRTC, decision to revoke Toronto's first campus radio station's license. We go now to an interview we had earlier today with a CKLN hip-hop listener named Robbie.
Yeah, well, hip-hop in Toronto, I mean, it owes a lot to these independent and these small college, university radio stations, because they were, it was the method of which, you know, hip-hop artists and DJs were able to actually get the music across to the listeners, because the top 40 or the regular commercial radio stations in Toronto weren't playing them. They were just playing they were playing like MC Hammer and stuff like that, but nobody was really playing the underground hip-hop at that time, which was the late 80s and early 90s. It was amazing. I mean, from Ron Nelson's show on Saturdays, and then when he left, and then DJ X took over and they started the Power Move, I was a kid, you know, but I remember growing up and listening to those radio stations in Toronto, and, you know, just hearing the sounds, hearing Rakim and all that stuff for the first time on the radio. You know, you couldn't hear that stuff being played on commercial radio. Nobody else was playing it, so these guys were, you know, and Maestro Fresh was for the first time, and just a lot of great music. A lot of good DJs came out of there, too, so you're going to still have the stations like CIUT and CHRY who will carry the torch. You know, CIUT is a major one, so they have their, you know, they have their shows, and I mean, the real underground hip-hop, not the commercial stuff like the Drakes and stuff that you hear out right now and, you know, on the radio, but the real underground stuff that, you know, you won't hear elsewhere. It still has a voice. Well, definitely I'm not happy about the CRTC's decision to remove and revoke their license. You know, hopefully the ideal situation would be that, you know, they would still let them broadcast and just sort it out, but, you know, the powers that be have already made the decision, so you know, it's definitely a huge loss for the community, for many communities, because it was it had a lot of different shows, cultural and ethnic programs for different communities. But, you know, I mean, a lot of people will will no longer be able to voice, you know, their opinions via CKLN anymore, which is definitely a loss.
We're now joined by Darren Copeland. Darren has been a programmer since 2002 at CKLN. He is also with New Adventures in Sound Art, organizers of the Deep Wireless Festival, and participants in the recent Arts Birthday celebrations that we rebroadcast here on CKUT. Hi, Darren.
Hello.
Thanks for joining us today. I was just wondering if you could give us an idea about CKLN's presence in the radio art and sound art community in Toronto.
Well, it was the place, I guess, going back to 1985 when I was a naive teenager exploring the world of sound, and CKLN was my my introduction, I think, to experimental music and you know, doing sort of things with sound that you wouldn't learn in music class, and it also provided me as I got into making sound art or electronic music or experimental music at the time. It gave me an outlet to share what I was doing with a listening audience, and there was a number of programmers there programming experimental music. It was Dan Lander, who later became very well known in the field for his books on sound art, had a weekly show. There was Mike Dyer, Philly Markowitz, who played a lot of stuff. Mike Hansen was there, and the Robert Oliver's show. So in the late 80s, it was a very influential place for me. And I later left Toronto and studied in Vancouver. And when I got back to Toronto and got involved in presenting sound art and organizing sound art events, it was a natural thing to do. It'd be to volunteer and provide a window for sound art on the airwaves through, you know, CKLN's vehicle and its history, and to both help legitimize that field, but also to give it a place on the airwaves.
Right. And how, for something like sound art, which is more of a marginal art, what's the importance of having a station as a community where you could all meet together?
Well, what's wonderful about it is it's also a place where people can work together. You know, it's an opportunity to create stuff every week. I know that Jim Bailey's show on which is on the wee hours on Sunday night into Monday morning frequently has artists coming there to jam or to play live in the studio, and in some cases some people working together for the first time. I know during the Arts Birthday weekend, there were some artists in town that performed at our event in Arts Birthday, but then they went later that night to play on Jim's show and to kind of continue kind of what they discovered. And there was, you know, different artists from different parts of the country that kind of came together to play on Jim's show. And so that wouldn't happen that spontaneously in that, you know, like it does on community radio, like I'm sure it does there in Montreal at CKUT, that there's a studio, there's a place to create work, and not only that, but to share it with an audience, and to also have the telephone there in the studio to get immediate feedback and response. So it's still even with the internet and Facebook and Twitter and everything else and personal streaming, there's something to be said for the stuff still happening in the airwaves. We can't spend 24 hours of our lives in front of a computer, or at least we can't spend all of our entertainment on a computer. There has to be other other ways of experiencing things. And if for the people that drive, for people that are walking about in the city listening to their earphones or whatever, it's nice to have something there that is, that's programmed for other alternatives.
Okay, thank you. And for the last question in your last 2 cents, I was just wondering, what was your reaction to the decision on Friday?
Well, it's highly unfortunate. What's the sad thing is that it creates a new precedent for campus community radio and its relationship to the CRTC and to the values that should hold. What's going to happen to the next station that experiences difficulty? Are they going to be just, let go? There was really, and I think also the disregard to the changes that happened at CKLN, once the conflicts there were resolved and sorted out. I mean, it's almost like they didn't take anything into account from the last year. It hasn't been easy slogging, this last year. I mean, everybody, it's if you can imagine running your own station without any paid staff, everybody is volunteer. And so consequently, each week it becomes a bit more challenging to do your show because there isn't a technical person, say, on staff to make sure that, that everything with the computer is sorted out or, that the channel that plays a certain CD player is not dirty or, these kind of things that you take for granted when somebody's there, looking after that stuff, as well as to stuff to do with, coordination and administration of the station itself and or to have somebody there at a phone who can try and, deal with pledges and things and perhaps seek out sponsorship or other ways of getting revenue into the station. So it's been a skeleton crew, and a lot of people have put in a lot of hard work, and it's really disappointing to have it come down to this. But I guess one of the saving graces of the internet is that the station can continue, at least on the internet after February 12th, and we hope that people remember that and that they don't dismiss it and that they use that it's an opportunity to perhaps improve the station and make the case that much stronger for getting the station back on the airwaves.
Thank you, Darren, and thanks for joining us today.
Okay, thank you.
I've just been speaking with Darren Copeland, who has been a programmer since 2002 at CKLN.
The 2011 edition of the Homelessness Marathon, broadcasting live from community radio stations across the country this February 23rd, 2011.
We're in a democratic society in Canada and in the States. We're supposed to be so much better than the rest of the world, yet the way we treat our poor may be the worst.
Marathon will be broadcasting live from over 40 community radio stations across Canada.
I speak as a person who was homeless at 16 years old. I speak as a woman at 61 who has in my heart the greatest compassion and love for those who are without a home. So I call upon every person who hears my voice to become committed to creating a home.
If you'd like more information on how you can get involved, please check out ckut.ca/homeless. That's February 23rd, 2011, live from coast to coast and from the streets.
Gold Star for Robot Boy! Hello, this is the artist formerly known as Christ from the Guided by Voices, and you're listening to CKUT 90.3 FM, listener-powered community radio. Don't forget to check out the new Circus Devils album.
My dear friends, I fell in this pit, dug for me by envy. Didn't see it. It was covered by hypocrisy of hate. Hate with a familiar face. This is no joke. I'm in jail. Not guilty of a crime, but as a woman with no status, I'm treated as a criminal. What is a criminal, anyhow? I'm in a maximum security range. Met an inmate who stole food, two others that stood up to their husband's abuse. Some rob or sell drugs to survive. Please tell me, who is the criminal? Is it us in here? Or a system that put us in here? Who is the criminal? All I want is to be free. All I want is to be safe. I want the chance to raise my children in safety. The chance to build a better society for them. That is not much to ask, or is it? I'm in a maximum security range because I was not quiet or meek. I cried out to the troops coming in from the march, please don't let them take me back. Please don't let them send me back. I knew you would have my back, and so you did. In all my sisters, brothers, and allies out there, I find my strength. I'm standing strong on my book, on your backs. And on the backs of all those who came before me, because of you, change shall come. Because of you, I still have hope. I know for a fact that my time to die has not yet arrived. Tiko basi igile hin ogbamanwo. If defense is not propped, it will fall and collapse. Yoruba proverb.
You're listening to Radio's Dead on CKUT 90.3. What you just heard was a poem that was spoken by Zynga, or Wendy Maxwell, over the phone from prison in 2005. And this was actually awaited deportation after being picked up at an IWD event at the CKLN booth. So that was provided by Christian Swartz as some of the programming that she felt typified what CKLN is known for. And on that vein, we have Frequency Feminisms, two women from this CKLN program up next. I'm going to turn to Jess, who will introduce them.
Yes, we have Anna and Joita, who are part of Frequency Feminisms, which is a women-powered radio collective on CKLN on Sundays from 11 to noon. Hello, ladies.
Hi there.
Hi there.
Thank you for having us.
Well, thank you for being part of the special event that we're trying to do. And I was wondering if first you could explain what Frequency Feminisms is at CKLN.
Well, actually, first, just a small correction. We're actually on from 10:30 a.m. to noon on Sundays. And we're a collective of women bringing the issues that affect all different kinds of women in the city, locally and internationally, to the radio waves at CKLN. So it's a really, we provide really unique programming on local issues. Joita, did you want to speak more on some of the things that would
be? Sure. So CKLN hosts a weekly spoken word show, Frequency Feminism. And as you've heard, it's on every Sunday between 10:30 a.m. and noon. This is an opportunity for us as feminists to hear from women whose voices don't often get represented in the mainstream. We at Frequency Feminism have heard from sex trade workers, women in prison, as you've just heard, migrant women working on farms, poor and working class women, women with disabilities. Frequency Feminisms is one of several, one in a long line of collectives who have brought feminist programming and perspective to the airway. Before us, there was Radioactive Feminism, and some of our collective members have been involved with CKLN and with feminist programming on CKLN for close to a decade. So CKLN has a long and proud history of feminist programming and programming that features other marginalized communities, psychiatric survivors, anti-poverty. So that's kind of what Frequency Feminisms is all about, and also sort of the sociocultural and political milieu that we're proud to be a part of.
I think one of the really unique things that we bring to the airwaves is a very diverse viewpoint, like a diverse cross-section of feminists and feminist issues that we don't see in the mainstream media and even even in the radical, like even in amongst radical media makers, often feminism is very white centered, it's very middle class, and we're breaking those stereotypes apart.
Right. And I was wondering how do you experience CKLN's involvement in the community as programmers or as listeners? Or both?
CKLN has a very long and very positive, has made a very long and positive contribution to the community. CKLN was the first campus community radio station in the city of Toronto to be licensed by the CRTC in 1983, and since that time has always received full renewals of its license, which is significant in terms of seeing as it's indicative of the great work that we've done in the community. Many people who have eventually gone on to achieve commercial success have gotten their start at CKLN. This has provided an opportunity and a forum for activists and other people, you know, from the community who otherwise don't have access to mainstream media to put out the news, to get the word out about the issues that really matter. So CKLN has had a very positive impact on the broader community. We have a very loyal base of listeners, I think, as witnessed by the recent fundraising drive. Even though the station has gone through a rough spot in the last couple of years, it was very, very pleased. It was very heartening to see upwards of $50,000 in fundraising. It means that people out there care about CKLN, and they care about the radio, and they care about having alternative grassroots, community-owned and produced, you know, student-run and operated radio. So it's all very, it was very encouraging, and CKLN is valuable, as are all campus community radio stations, to the broader public discourse.
And I think the reason why we receive so much support from the community is because we really are composed of the community. We're, like I said, we represent not just in our collective, but as a programming collective at CKLN, our volunteer programmers represent every, you know, facet of the community that we don't see on television, we don't see on the radio, and it's just so inspiring every day to tune into CKLN on the FM dial in the Toronto market, which is so the diversity and the activist programming, the radical programming that we're bringing to the airwaves is just so rare on the Toronto FM dial. So
I want to thank you both, Anna and Joita, for joining us from Frequency Feminism, which airs on CKLN, for this broadcast on Radio is Dead on CKUT 90.3 in protest of CKLN having their programming license revoked.
Thank you so much for covering this issue and having us on the station. I don't know if you've reminded your listeners that we are having a meeting this evening to discuss the situation at 55 Gold Street at 7 p.m., I believe it is. So anybody who's interested in coming out to support and fighting this, you know, with us, is welcome to come out.
Yeah, and please, keep posted. I'm sure in terms of future developments, I'm sure you can keep checking the website, CKLN.fm. We'll take some.
And there's a petition circulating.
And CKT will be covering this again next Monday, 2 to 3, on Radio is Dead to get all the updates.
Great. Thank you so much.
Okay. Have a great day, guys. Good luck at the meeting tonight.
Thanks a lot.
Okay. Bye. Come on, y'all. You don't matter.
Well, you do, you do, Lord, Lord. Do it good. Well, all right. It's not what you look like when you're doing what you're doing. It's what you're doing when you're doing what you look like you're doing. Express yourself. Express yourself.
And now we are joined by Daniel Libby. Daniel Libby has been volunteering at CKLN since 2007 on the show Word of Mouth, which airs Wednesday at 7 to 8 p.m. Daniel sent us some radio clips, but we didn't have time to play them on today's broadcast. We hope to be able to play them next Monday, 2 to 3, February 7th. Hey, Daniel, are you there?
Hey, yeah, I'm there. And you actually did play two of them. There were two interviews I did. You played Cantonese Horn and Tohoke Tote, where you added them together. It was about the Etobicoke Education Center, Outdoor Education Center. I'd just been tuning in. So I'm glad you played that, just because, you know, that's an example of what we talk about on Word of Mouth Wednesday. And I'm on the Word of Mouth Wednesday, but Word of Mouth is actually a show that's on Monday to Friday every night with different hosts. So, thanks for doing the show about CKLN. And having me on.
Daniel, can you give us a bit of your history, involvement, experience with CKLN and how that applies to its role in Toronto?
Yeah, I got involved with CKLN in 2007 when I was in the news internship program, which was run by Kristen, who you had on earlier. And that was basically how I learned about radio. It was like a few months after I had graduated from Ryerson. And I started, volunteering at CKLN, and, I've gotten to talk with a lot of great people that I respect a lot. And that's a great part of being able to volunteer for radio. And I've been able to keep track of what's going on in the news. And
I was wondering, what does it mean to, like, how does CKLN's news program work? Like, how does it involve the community?
Well, we try to get all kinds of different topics on, every week and every episode, and everyone talks about different stuff. But one of the main things we've been talking about has been the G20, the Toronto G20, because that was such a major thing that happened involving activism and protesting and, the government secrets that are going on. So we've been trying to interview as many people as we can that had experiences at the G20. That's an example. And then just, the overall coverage at CKLN, I like to define it from the logo. My favorite logo of CKLN has an 88.1 smashing through a serial code. And then underneath it says, "Liberate your radio." And that's what I think is the message. That's what I hope to see at CKLN. And that's what I'm, I'm hoping that this isn't it, it's a tough decision from the CRTC, from the regulators, but I hope there's still time. That's why I think why we're still broadcasting till February 12th and I just hope, we can liberate the radio.
So you'll be at the meeting tonight at CKLN?
Oh, yeah, for sure. That's why. This is the most important meeting we've got going. And I hope if there's anybody that's in Toronto that's listening or in the Toronto area to make it down to 55 Gould Street for this meeting, because it's so, so important what's happened. And, we got to have a meeting as public as possible, because too many secrets going on, too many secret meetings. Like the G20 was a secret meeting, the CRTC decision, they've released a decision, but we don't know how, they came to that decision. This is why we need to have public meetings, I think. And the CRTC decision is going to be tough if we don't have, if CKLN loses the license, because we can always broadcast on the internet, but
you know, that's it's totally underground. And I think what we need to do now is live in public. That's you know, that's also a great movie. We Live in Public. It's a documentary that I think is, you know, it's a metaphor for what's happening today. And what I've seen at a lot of CKLN meetings, because I've gone to a lot and I've tried to figure out what's been going on. And what I see a lot of is campus security and Toronto police get called sometimes to the meetings. And it's, you know, it seems too hostile, and it seems too, you know, when I see that kind of stuff happening, it's almost like CKLN is the microcosm of all the major problems we've been talking about with protesting, with the government, with, you know, society and cultures, different cultures coming together. And I think we need to have an open CKLN, and, you know, there's a lot of locked doors, a lot of metal shutters. But, you know, it's time to liberate the radio. This is not it, hopefully. And thank you for doing this at CKUT. Everyone can tune in to CKLN.fm on the internet, you know, for the next few weeks, and then hopefully on into the future. But, you're doing a great thing getting the word out on this.
Thanks for joining us, Daniel.
All right. Thank you a lot, Courtney.
Daniel Libby has been a programmer at CKLN since 2007 on the show Word of Mouth. We're going to play one more clip, and it's the second of two PSAs given to us by Christian Swartz. And she says they were produced for their broadcast from the CMAC and Radio Basseville, CKIA, in Quebec City during the protests against the Summit of the Americas in April 2001.
And just before we go, I wanted to mention that we will be doing another hour, at least, of voices from CKLN and from the campus community sector about the situation of the revocation of CKLN's license by the CRTC. That will be next Monday at 2 p.m. If you are a CKLN listener or programmer, we do ask that you contact us. You can call, you can send us an email at, I'm giving your email, news@ckut.ca.
You can also call in at 514-448-4041, extension 6788. And you can find that number and the email on ckut.ca.
Yeah, so we'll continue the discussion about this next week at 2.
So we're just going to go to another clip provided to us today by Christian Swartz, which typifies the kind of programming at CKLN in Toronto.
I hope that it will be an energizing space where people that are doing action are feeling empowered while doing action, while facing repression, while facing their fear of repression and their fear of confronting the system. This moment where people can relate to each other and just feel that they are not alone in the struggle, that there are people that are ready to oppose and clearly demonstrate that they are against, and that we need to take back our streets, our lives, and our communities. I hope it's fun also, because if it's not fun, you are just dragging the hardness and the drabness of the system with you while organizing. And I don't want that. I want people to have fun.
Están escuchando la radio de las Américas. Vous écoutez la radio des Amériques.
We're broadcasting live from the Center for Media Alternatives in Quebec City, April 2001.
People are just heartbroken and shocked.
Well, our first response is just shock. We're shocked that this decision was taken. The CRTC could have issued mandatory orders against CKLN for being in non-compliance, which means that it's more serious and it becomes something that the court looks after, or they could have even suspended the license of the station for a little while. And in fact, they chose to jump over those two and go straight to revoking the license. And so our first response is just, what's happening?
Thank you so much, neighbors. And Grant Turner, it looks like our time is all gone.
Worried, choked up and ruined, left out, disinherited, sweating, frustrated, hopeless, despairing, depressed.
Express yourself. Express yourself.
The CRTC arrests recognize is that we made tremendous improvements in the past year. We've been in rebuilding process. So we started from, station was basically broken. And
join the Locked Out Women programmers.